Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back on a Victory Monday brought to you by Chenega Mios, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. It's JP and Bish hanging out, talking about the Commanders' win. Remember, tomorrow, running back Brian Robinson joins us. Not the best day for him to join us, but they got a win. So we'll talk to B-Rob tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Join us right now, NFL writer for USA Today, Nate Davis joins us. Hey, Nate.
Morning, guys. How are you?
So kind of give us the national perspective on what you're seeing from this Washington Commanders team. Did your perspective change after they knocked off Philly yesterday?
Has my perspective changed? I thought that they've been solid all year. I mean, I kind of thought going into the year that this would kind of be a seven or eight kind of win season for this team. Mm-hmm. But like 7 and 8 wins, you know, on the way up, as opposed to the 7 or 8 wins that, they've had so many, you know, years before, recent years, that kind of thing, where it felt like spinning their wheels. So I kind of felt all along like this team is very much ahead of schedule under Dan Quinn. I mean, yesterday's game was fun. It was exciting. Certainly, you know, Commanders fans understandably geeked up. I'd also say that lately they haven't played great, you know, before yesterday. And I would say yesterday they did turn the ball over 5 times and they were playing against the backup quarterback. So to me, there's a little bit of a grain of salt aspect to this, but I don't think it detracts from the overall season where this team is going. And I think the fact that they're going to go to the playoffs and have their guy to build around and the money to keep doing it, there's no reason not to be bullish on the Commanders overall, even if like the last, you know, month or so hasn't been as exciting as a 7-2 start.
Yeah, and then, you know, they've got a big game on Sunday because they're not in yet, and Atlanta and Tampa are a couple games behind them or a couple wins behind them, but it's not over yet for those teams. Atlanta's got the tiebreaker over Tampa because they swept them. But kind of give us your thoughts on the Commanders playing the Falcons. Penix looked pretty good yesterday. Now Drew Lock threw 2 pick sixes because the Giants are just dreadful and they've given up and they're going to make wholesale changes in the offseason. So that was an easy win for the Falcons. But going forward, they're not going back to Cousins. He's done. It's going to be Michael Penix to try and win the division and going into the playoffs for them if they get there. So kind of give us your thoughts on the Falcons and then the Commanders defense and what kind of threats does Penix pose since they don't really see him. You know, they only saw him this game and he had a couple he had some really nice passes that were dropped, and the interception that he threw, Pitts kind of bobbled it. So I think his overall numbers aren't as good as he played, but kind of give us your thoughts on Commanders and Falcons.
Yeah, I think you hit on a lot of good stuff there. I think the numbers yesterday for Penix looked pretty modest, but if you saw the game, like you said, the pick wasn't really his fault. Receivers didn't necessarily help him out, and they didn't really have to get too crazy. I mean, they could play relatively conservatively with the defense getting the 2 pick sixes. I mean, you hit on something earlier. I mean, I think the Commanders would be wise to just take care of business this weekend. I mean, obviously, in any case, but the Bucs do have the tiebreaker over them. Mm-hmm. If they lose to the Falcons, they're going to have a tiebreaker over them. And then I think at that point, it would be a one-game lead over Atlanta. You don't want to mess around going into Week 18. But you said something else, too. I mean, I think Penix, I think, is at a bit of an advantage right now because there is no book on him. So the Commanders are kind of going into this game, you know, with one game of film to study, a little bit blind, but also the fact that I think that the Falcons have really kind of had to narrow their playbook lately with how much Kirk Cousins has struggled with the arm strength and everything else. And I think Penix is going to give them options to maybe do things that they haven't necessarily been doing recently, things maybe the Commanders haven't seen. So I think there is a bit of an advantage built in here for Atlanta, but I mean, it also is Sunday Night Football. It's going to be Penix's coming out party to some degree. How does a rookie handle that? He is an older guy, so you wouldn't think that he's necessarily going to be overwhelmed by it. But You never know, but it should be a fun game. I mean, this team has a lot of weapons, Atlanta, and I think the sneaky thing to watch is they really couldn't pressure anybody for about the first 2.5 months of the season, Atlanta, that is. But they have really turned up the pass rush, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, getting 4 and 5 sacks, you know, a week and a lot of pressures. So, you know, I know, you know, we heard Kingsbury say that they're trying to turn Daniels loose and not protect him as much. But I think they got to be careful about that Atlanta pass rush, which has been much better lately than it has been overall this season.
Now, I think Tampa is going to win the South just because they get Carolina and New Orleans at home, and New Orleans is done. They're probably not going to play anybody in that last game. And I think they'll beat Carolina. And I think Atlanta will drop one of these two, probably the one to Washington if I had to put cash on it. But who knows? We'll see. Were you surprised at Tampa's loss to Dallas?
I wasn't shocked. I mean, I picked them to win, but you know, say this for the Cowboys. I mean, they've been, you know, everybody saw how hard they played last night. But, I mean, this has been going on for weeks. And, I mean, they've known that they're not making the playoffs. I mean they got eliminated in free agency, right? So I think credit to the Cowboys, credit to the fact that they seem to be making a statement in defense of Mike McCarthy, you know, without their starting quarterback, you know, hadn't played well at home all year until lately. And then they show up in prime time and beat a team with you know, so much on the line last night in Tampa. So, I thought the Bucs would win, but I mean, I'm not shocked that the Cowboys did. I have to give them a lot of credit for all the adversity, all the questions they've had to answer all year, as badly as the offseason went. I mean, they're really playing hard for Mike McCarthy and seem like they're trying to save his job. And that wasn't just something that started last night.
Going around the NFL with Nate Davis, NFL writer for USA Today. So it seems like most people believe the Detroit Lions are superior to the Minnesota Vikings, right? But when you look at the record, when you even look at Goff versus Sam Darnold, they're almost identical. Who do you give the edge to? Are you one of these guys that gives the edge to the Lions based on last year, or are you buying totally into the Vikings?
I mean, I feel like I'm among those who have not given the Vikings sufficient credit. I mean, to some degree, it feels like 2 years ago when they won all those games, you know, by single digits, and end up winning the division, mm-hmm. and then, you know, lose to the Giants in the wild card round. I think this team is better than that one. You know, 13 wins is 13 wins. I think, you know, it's just hard to kind of sign up, I think, generally for Sam Darnold, given he doesn't have the overall body of work. But, you know, I also thought the Jets were foolish for giving up on Sam Darnold when they could have kept him and drafted Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell. I mean, I'm thrilled that he's finally been put in a situation with a coach like Kevin O'Connell where he can finally get unlocked. You know, as for Detroit, I mean, they lost to the Lions by 2 points at home in Week 7 in a game that was very back and forth, and that's when the Lions had all their guys basically. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be close. I mean, I mean, if we're talking about Week 18. I would probably give the Lions the edge just because they'll be at home, and Ford Field has really kind of become one of the better home field advantages in the league. You know, the David Montgomery injury certainly hurt, as have all the injuries with them. But, you know, you're at least able to weather that one with Jahmyr Gibbs there. Had a big game yesterday. I think I give Detroit the edge just because I think that as most of their games have gone lately, they've devolved into shootouts, but the Lions are built to win those. And they're just going to pull something out that you've never seen, too. So I give a little bit of edge to Detroit just based on track record and you know, everything else I said.
Yeah, the Darnold story is crazy because, like you just said, I mean, he's been on 4 teams. Got to give a lot of credit to their coaching staff, certainly their head coach, Kevin O'Connell, for making.
I'm just fascinated what the offseason is going to be. I mean, what's the market going to be?
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, are they going to be put in a situation where they
got to pay him?
They have to sign him, or do they let him go because they got the first round pick coming in?
Here's what I would do. You know, and they're going to kick that can down the road as long as they can. But I mean, this guy's probably going to be top five when the MVP ballots come back. I'm guessing. If I were the Vikings, I would franchise tag him. And then I would kind of give myself further options and see what the market is, because, you know, it seems like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are probably going to be the only guys that are highly taken quarterbacks in the draft, or at least viewed as franchise quarterbacks. And maybe there will be others. We'll see. Some guys have had, you know, not been as good this year. You know, Georgia, et cetera. They would be.
Yep.
There's a lot of teams drafting high up in the draft that need quarterbacks.
Oh, yes. I think there's 6 or 7 teams that need quarterbacks myself.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine, like, if the Jets wanted to go back and get Darnold or some of these other teams? I mean, obviously, you know, as we've seen earlier in his career, I think the situation needs to be right. I mean, and I'm very confident that if the Vikings do trade him, if they franchise tag him, of course, that they would try to do right by him. But I think they're, you know, they've already shown they're invested in McCarthy. I mean, if Darnold goes out and wins the Super Bowl, that kind of puts them in a box. But I think he does give them an opportunity to kind of tag and trade him, and then you're bringing back, you know, even more assets for him. I mean, you even wonder if they tag him, if another team would ante up the 2 first-round picks to sign him. So his situation is going to be, I think, it's fascinating in terms of free agency, as we've seen for anybody in years, given all the permutations that are available there.
You know, we're talking about giving credit and people maybe not giving the Vikings enough credit. I kind of feel the same way with KC. For weeks and weeks, we kept saying, oh, they're just so lucky, you know, blocked kicks and all these end-of-the-game situations. They're 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
Should they be the favorites in the AFC?
I think playing at home, yeah, they should be.
What I go back to, you guys, last year is, too, when I don't think anybody was impressed late in the season, then they lose that Christmas Day game to the lowly Raiders. And I think, you know, Aiden O'Connell passed for like 60 yards or something. Like, it was a crazy fluky loss, but nevertheless. And then we saw what happens in the playoffs. And I think, you know, even if you're not impressed with the Chiefs right now, and I think they have like the lowest you know, margin of victory for any team that's probably won 14 games. But like you said, I mean, 14-1 is 14-1. They've had some better outcomes the last couple of weeks, even with Mahomes hurt. But I think to some degree, like you said, I mean, the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through Arrowhead almost certainly. And I think this is a different team. I mean, they've got another gear or two I think they can hit. And they know how to do it in the playoffs. So I don't necessarily expect the Chiefs that are winning games 25-22 in the regular season to be the same team we see, you know, once they open up in the divisional round against whoever, you know, against the Ravens or whoever they're going to draw.
How do you expect the teams playing on such a short week on Christmas? Kansas City's playing Pittsburgh. Huge game for both, because KC's trying to stay in that one slot. Pittsburgh's trying to win the division. Now, they didn't look good against Baltimore on Saturday, but Baltimore's playing at Houston. Man, that's such a short week. How do you expect those games to go?
It's possible they can be a little dicey. I mean, I really feel for these guys. I mean, all four of these teams are on a 3 games in 11 days span. I was at the Ravens game Saturday, and you know, afterwards, a lot of the guys were getting asked questions about how, you know, they practiced yesterday. I mean, they played on Saturday, you know, late afternoon, evening, and they're back at practice Sunday and all week, and then they got to fly out there and play on Wednesday. I mean, it's a lot to put these fourth teams through to get that bag of Netflix money for the league. But I guess it's worth it for the revenue sharing at the end of the day. But you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. For the Steelers, yeah, I mean, obviously they're kind of a must win if they want to win the division. To me, they've obviously been a different team without George Pickens. Like the offense just can't play with people right now without him on the field. So I think they're in a little bit of trouble if he's not able to play. And they get the team like the Chiefs that if they win, they can shut it down for 2 weeks. No more questions about Mahomes' ankle or Chris Jones' calf. I mean, they can rest all their guys. The Ravens, you know, I wrote about this Saturday night. I mean, I kind of think they've got their mojo back. The last time I saw them in person was that Cincinnati game where it was a shootout and the Bengals had with the 34 points and then the crazy finish and Joe Burrow throwing for all the yards. But that defense feels like it's settled down, made the big play, you know, the Marlon Humphrey pick 6-6 to win the game effectively Saturday night. But also just like they're not forgetting to feed Derrick Henry, which they did in the first game against Pittsburgh. They're spreading the ball out to guys like, you know, Flowers and Rashad Bateman scored, Andrew scored, Mikey scored.
Both tight ends.
And Lamar's been Lamar. So I really think this team is, you know, so you want to be the best team or you want to be the hottest team going to the playoffs? And I think the Ravens have a chance to be the hottest team.
All right, last question. AFC, you know, the 6 and 7 slots look like, I mean, certainly the Chargers and Broncos are the favorites, but just looking at the remaining two games, the Broncos have to go to Cincinnati, and then they got the Chiefs at home, and that game might mean something for the Chiefs. And then the Chargers have the Pats on the road and at Vegas, so the easier slate there. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that another team could sneak in there, whether it's Miami or Indy, or Cincinnati. But what do you expect from the 6 and 7 slots in the AFC? Do you think Denver and the Chargers get there?
Well, like you said, I think the Chargers are going to have to do a lot of chargering to cough this up. I mean, like you said, they got the easy schedule, and they've got the tiebreaker sweep over the Broncos. So, but let's just say that, you know, let's put them in.
Right.
The Broncos have beat, I think they're 1-6 against teams with winning records this year. So there's a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde, or if you want to say they're a little bit fraudulent or whatever, you know, kind of in their first year with a rookie quarterback. Certainly have overachieved overall, but I mean, this is a big game Saturday for them. I mean, if they lose to Cincinnati, you know, they lose the tiebreaker to them, and then, you know, maybe have to go play the Chiefs with the Chiefs having something on the line. I think kind of what everybody maybe nationally or that don't have a real rooting interest wants is to see the Bengals get in. Just because they're a fun team to watch. But, you know, they got to win out, but they also need the Dolphins to lose. They also need the Colts to lose. You know, each of those teams a game to jump over them. And if you look at the Colts schedule and the Dolphins schedule, they're going to have a tough time losing games. So Cincinnati really needs a lot to go right for it to happen. But I think it certainly would be fun for everybody to get to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and those guys in the playoffs, just given the brand of football they play and how, you know, the runs we've seen them going on in the past. So we'll see if they can pull it off.
By the way, the Colts won yesterday with Anthony Richardson having 7 completions.
Yeah.
7 completions.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the version they need to be.
I mean, oh, no, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jonathan Taylor finally had a huge game with him. I mean, it's been, you know, they really haven't been able to figure out how to get Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson going together at the same time. That finally happened yesterday. You kind of see what, you know, I think a lot of us thought they could have been this year. We'll see if they can kind of translate that formula to next year.
Nate, good stuff, man. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays, buddy.
That's Nate Davis from USA Today. Yeah, I mean, Anthony Richardson found a way to win, and I guess, you know, they moved off of Flacco to go back to Anthony Richardson, and I think that has proven to be a good move for them. But if you look at the wins, they beat New England a couple weeks ago. He had 12 completions. They beat Tennessee. That's 7 completions. Like, that's the formula. The way that they win the games is Anthony Richardson running.
Right.
You know, he had 9 carries yesterday for 70 yards and a touchdown, and obviously trying to pound the ball with
Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, but that's, you just mentioned it. The teams that he beat were the Patriots and the Titans. They've got a combined 6 wins. That's the way I look at it.
Hey, there's a chill in the air as that cold Washington winter is creeping in. Make sure your residential or commercial heating system is ready to keep you warm and cozy all season long by calling the 5-star heating experts at Crop Metcalf. Crop Metcalf 5-star technician has the training and know-how to properly fix and maintain your system and catch potential problems before you're left out in the cold. For peace of mind all season long, do what I always do. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.